Well, it's so good to see you here today, and I invite you now to turn now in your copy of God's Word to the center of the Bible, to the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119 and verse number 153. Psalm 119, verse 153, we've worked our way up to the 20th stanza, 22 stanzas in Psalm 119. We're almost to the end of this study that began way back in the month of July. And we have grown to love the Word of God even more as we have seen how the psalmist extols the written, Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. And what a great stanza for our consideration today. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 153. I hope that you'll keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side as my sermon and its points will be coming from this text. You're going to get 40, 50, 60% more out of the message as you see it unfolding before your very eyes from the inspired Word of God. Also, I have a listening guide for you there in the worship pages. I hope that you'll find that and follow along as we look together at this subject. Lord, consider me. Does God really have time to consider little old me? I mean, really. Out of all of the billions of people in this world, how could he possibly think about me and all that's going on in my life? This is the concern of the psalmist in this 20th psalm. He asks, does God really see what I am dealing with on a daily basis? And you know what? I believe there are a lot of people here today that have that same question. You're wondering, out of all the masses and sea of people, if God can really focus on you as an individual and all that concerns you in your life. Well, the psalmist gives us a hint about his assurance of God's careful consideration of him when he addresses this issue under the 20th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And just by way of review, you know that this Psalm 119 is an acrostic psalm, meaning that the psalmist was inspired by the Holy Spirit to organize his thoughts around the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order. And so since this is the 20th stanza, it falls under the 20th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You might see that letter in your copy of God's Word, either above verse 153 or maybe as the first word in verse 153. It is the letter Resh, R-E-S-H. And I've tried to point out to you each week the symbol or the picture that has been traditionally associated with each one of these Hebrew letters. And the letter Resh is associated with the head, and in particular, the brain, and more specifically, the frontal lobe of the brain, which is responsible for our selective attention. Do you know what selective attention is? Well, I'll tell you what it is. I look out on this sea of faces today, and all of a sudden, my focus hones in on one person. Out of all the hundreds of people here, my focus hones in on one face. And I give that person my selective attention. It's like looking at these two pages that you have open here and all the myriad of words here, and all of a sudden your eye falls on one word and one word only. That capability of selective attention is found only in the frontal lobe of the brain, which is the symbol that is associated with this letter Resh. And it's no accident that the psalmist here is concerned about God's selective attention. Does God really consider me? And speaking of that word consider, it is used three times in these eight verses. It is the Hebrew word ra'ah. Let me spell it for you. R-A apostrophe A-H. And you will see that word used not once, not twice, but three times in this 20th stanza. And the psalmist is saying, God, do you really see me? Do you really think about me on a moment by moment, day by day basis? And the answer is yes. And so if you've recently prayed for God's careful consideration of you and what you're going through, I want you to know that you're in good company. You're in the same boat as the psalmist here as he asks God to, number one, consider his sea circumstances. Looking there, every eye, verse 153. If you have your Bible open there, give me a loud, hearty amen. Let's see what the psalmist prays about here when he uses that Hebrew letter word, ra'ah, saying consider, or maybe your translation says look. It's the same word. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. That's what many people are saying here today in this 1050 worship service. God, do you really see my situation? Do you see the valley that I'm going through? Do you see, to use the psalmist's word, the affliction that I'm having to deal with on a daily basis? God, do you even care? Do you even look at me in those times when I need you most? And the answer is an overwhelming and resounding yes. God does consider your circumstances. A couple of Sunday nights ago, I was invited to preach at a sister church in a neighboring city. Arrived at the church not sure what I was going to preach on that night. As a matter of fact, I stayed in a state of uncertainty until I literally got up behind the pulpit. And God just put it on my heart that I needed to preach on discouragement, because I believe that there could have been some people there that were very disheartened, that were very downcast. Maybe there was just one person that needed to hear that message. And so I preached on that, not knowing that there was a senior adult lady sitting out in that congregation that very night, two Sunday nights ago, who just in the previous week had considered ending it all. You see, she was the sole caregiver for her husband, who has dementia. And in the days before I came to preach that message on discouragement, she'd about convinced herself that God didn't see her, that he didn't care about what she was going through, that he was not considering all that was happening in her life as she single-handedly cared for her husband in the advanced stages of memory loss. She approached me after that sermon, and she said, you know, I was walking down the sidewalk just a couple of days ago, and I saw in the distance a semi-truck coming right next to the sidewalk that I was on. And as it neared me, I considered stepping in front of it and ending it all, because I just didn't think God cared. I didn't think he saw me. I didn't think he was looking at me. I didn't think he cared about what I was going through. But she said, I'm going to leave this building tonight in a different way. I'm going to leave with the assurance of knowing that God sees me and he knows what I'm going through, and he cares about my circumstances. There's some people here today that are struggling with a difficult situation, and you're so downcast, you're so disheartened, you're so discouraged that the thoughts of desperation creep into your mind, because the old evil one has creeped in between your ears and he's convinced you that God doesn't see you. And if he does see you, he doesn't care. He's not considering what you're going through. Friend, I can tell you that is not true. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. The psalmist is convinced that God considered his circumstances. But not only did he pray for God to consider his C circumstances, he prayed for God to consider his O ordeal. Look at it there. every eye. It says in verse number 154, plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the word ordeal as this, and I quote, a primitive means to determine guilt or innocence by submitting the accused to dangerous and painful tests. There's a lot of you here today that's saying that's what I'm going through. I'm going through a fiery ordeal. And it's interesting to see the opening expression of verse number 154. It's an expression that is borrowed from the legal arena. It's borrowed from the courts of law. It says, plead my cause, or literally, plead my case. Like a defense attorney would plead my case before the tribunal of the wicked. God, I need you to represent me as a lawyer with all that's going on in my life today. And that's where many of you are today. You feel like you've been hauled into court by the evil one, and there's no one there to stand in the gap and represent you. But friend, that is not true. We know from what John said over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, and such words of assurance when he says, we have an advocate. You know what an advocate is? An advocate is a lawyer. He's someone who represents us. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Even when the wicked put us through their fiery ordeals, we know that we can call on God to plead our cause, to plead our case. But unpack every word here in verse 154, because he asks him to do something else. He asks him not only to represent him, but to redeem him. You know what that word redeem means? It means to purchase something, to buy something. And so here's the psalmist. He's going through his fiery ordeal. He's been hauled into the tribunal of the wicked, and he's saying, God, I need someone to represent me. Would you plead my case? And while I'm on the subject, God, could you just settle this thing out of court? Could we pay my way out of this situation? And Jesus Christ, the advocate, the righteous one, looks at us in love and compassion, and he says, yes. I've got the purchase price right here, right here, right here, and right here. I bought your way out of this ordeal. I redeemed you with my own shed blood. Oh, dear friend, are you wondering if God cares? I can tell you this with certainty. If you'd been the only lost person that needed representation in the tribunal of the wicked, if you'd been the only lost person that needed a Savior, that needed an advocate in all of human history, God cared enough that He would have come and died on the cross for you and for you alone. Does God consider me? Does God see me? Does God care? You better believe He does. He considers your circumstances, He considers your ordeal, and then He also considers your nemesis. I read about our nemesis in verse number 155. He says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. You know, that's very interesting to see that the wicked are far from God and His Word. Many of us have already forgotten what it says about that in verse 150. Take a left-hand turn in your copy of God's Word and go back to verse 150 when it talks about these same wicked people. It uses that same word. It says, they draw near who follow after, there's that word, wickedness. They are what? Far, the same word that we just read, they are far from your law. Friend, if you're a believer, and if you are following the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis at school, at home, at work, and at play, I'll make you a bona fide guarantee the devil is going to raise up all kinds of adversaries against you. You're going to have a nemesis on every side of you. The devil's going to make sure of that. And their intention is to do you harm. And there's some people sitting here today that feel the heat of their own personal nemesis. And you're wondering if God even cares. God, do you see what's happening to me? I'm living a life of faithfulness. I'm devoted to you and I'm devoted to your word. Do you even consider what's happening to me? It doesn't look like it. It looks like I'm losing at every turn. But you know what? God does see. God carefully considers the attacks that you are under. And in His own time, in God's own time, He's going to set all the records straight. Does God see me? Does God care? Does God consider what I'm going through? You better believe He does. He considers your C circumstances, your O ordeal, your N nemesis, and your S sustenance. Look at that next verse, verse 156. He says to God, "Great are your tender mercies, O Lord." And here's what I want you to see. "Revive me," or your translation might say, "quicken me," or it might say, "preserve my life," or "give me life." It's all the same idea. "Lord, revive me according to your judgments." God, when I look at the circumstances and the affliction that I am under and the fiery ordeal that my nemesis is putting me through, God, I need life. I need sustenance. I need your reviving power in my life. Interesting thing about that plea is this is the second of three times he makes that plea. Have you already seen the first time? Yeah, it's right there. Verse number 154. He said the same thing. "Revive me according to your word." Now he says it again in verse 156. "Revive me according to your judgments." But that's not the last time he said it. He'll say it a third time. Do you see it in verse 159? "Revive me," or "preserve my life," or "give me life," or "quicken me according to your word." God, I'm going through such hardship and heartache and heartbreak that I feel like my life is about to be taken from me. But God, in this moment of prayer, I'm asking you to see me, to consider what I'm going through, and give me your life. Give me your sustenance. Friend, there are many people in this building today listening by radio, by TV, by internet, and they're saying, "Amen, amen, amen. I feel like I'm dry as dust. I need a fresh touch from God because of all the things I've been through, all the things that I'm dealing with." Oh, God, see me. Consider me. And in the process, would you please sustain me with the kind of life and energy and reinvigoration that only you can give. This is what the psalmist asked God to consider. But not only this, as we go into the next verse, he asked God to consider his eye, injurers. Looking there, every eye, verse number 157. Seems like a recurring theme for the psalmist in every one of these stanzas. He says, "Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies." Now, what is so interesting about this mentioning again of his adversaries is that every time that the psalmist prays for revival here in this stanza, it's the most times he's prayed for revival in any single stanza, three times. Every time you see him praying for revival, you see him also mentioning it in light of those who injure him and persecute him. The first time we see that couplet is right there in verse 154 and 155, where he says at the end of verse 154, revive me or quicken me or give me life. And he does it in light of what verse 155 says when he speaks of the wicked. He always couples those two thoughts. And here again, in verse 156 and 157, when he says, revive me, as we've already seen, he does it in light of his persecutors and his enemies in verse 157. Not the last time he does it. In verses 158 and 159, we see in verse 158, he mentions the treacherous. He mentions those that are unfaithful, those that are disloyal. And then he says, for the third and final time in verse 159, Lord, sustain me! Revive me! Give me life! Give me energy! You want to get the psalmist's true perspective on this? It's in one little word, a Hebrew word, the word rab, R-A-B. It is the first word of verse 156 and the first word of verse 157. You won't see it in your English translation. But we saw it already in verse 157 when he said, many, that's the word rab, many are my persecutors and my enemies. But he only says that in the context of verse 156, where he uses that same word, rob, R-A-B again, in the word great. Yes, God, I've got a lot of enemies. I've got a lot of adversaries. I've got rob persecutors. But God, I've got rob something else. I hadn't forgotten what the scripture said in verse 156, rob, great are your tender mercies, O Lord. How did he remember that? Because of what the second part of verse 157 says. Yet I do not turn from your testimonies. God, here's my circumstance. Here's my situation. I've got rob, persecutors, and enemies around me. But God, I have not forgotten your testimonies. I've not forgotten this book. That's the synonym for this book, the word testimonies. And I hadn't forgotten what I've already said in the scripture, the verse prior, and that is, I've got rob, tender mercies. God, you're going to be able to get me through whatever I'm going through. And because of this, I know that you see me. I know that you consider what I'm going through in my daily life. Does God consider us? You better believe He does. Notice the next verse where the psalmist prays for him to consider his disgust. Interesting. This is the second of three times we see the key word of this stanza. Remember what that key word is? Consider. Or it might be look in your copy of God's Word. You might be saying, I don't see it here. Well, it is here. Let me show it to you. This is the second of three times. He says, God, I've been asking you to consider some things about me and for me, but I want you to see what I see. I want you to consider what I'm considering right now. And so he looks there in verse 158 and he says, I see, or I consider the treacherous, and I am disgusted because they do not keep your word. You know what's happened in our modern day churches today? We have lost our sense of disgust and loathing for those that are disloyal and unfaithful. That word treacherous right here can also be translated as the word traitor. Those who are traitors of the faith. We have gotten to where in the modern day church that we have lost our sense of disgust and loathing for the traitors of the faith, for those that are unfaithful, for those that are disloyal. Think about that word traitor in our American history, and a name probably pops in every one of our minds when we think about the colonial era and the Revolutionary War. Who was the quintessential traitor of the Revolutionary War? Benedict Arnold. That's what he's talking about here. He is saying, God, I have disgust. I have loathing in my spirit for the Benedict Arnolds that are around us. Certainly there are no Benedict Arnolds here this morning. Oh, they won't go by the name Benedict Arnold. They'll go by another name. Not Benedict Arnold, but Baptist Absentee. They're at Bedside Baptist this morning. They're worshiping at St. Mattress this morning. And you know what we do? We excuse their faithlessness. We wink at their disloyalty, at their being a traitor to the church of the Lord God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as is the habit of others. Oh, surely we have no Benedict Arnolds here today. Oh, we do. They just don't go by that name. They don't go by the name Benedict Arnold. They go by the name Belief Abandoner. Yeah, I used to believe that way. When I went to vacation Bible school and was raised in Sunday school, raised in church, and I used to believe that way, but I don't believe that way anymore. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be standing in your shoes in the judgment day. But what we've done in this church right here, is we have made excuses for people being traitors to the faith, traitors to this church. We wink at it. We excuse it. The psalmist does not. He says, I'm disgusted. I'm filled with loathing at their treachery and their disloyalty. God, you use that word consider here. God, I've asked you to consider me, but I just want you to see what I see. I want you to consider what I am considering. I want you to look at this bunch that's around me, and I wonder, God, I wonder sometimes if you see the same thing I see. Because I'm tempted to think that you don't consider me and you don't consider all the faithlessness that is around me. But God's answer is, oh, I see. I see. And I consider what you are raw-ha-ing, what you are considering. Thank the Lord for a God who cares, for a God who considers, for a God who sees. He also sees our E, endearment. Look at there, verse 159. A word that is used twice here that's a very important word, a term of endearment. You'll see it right off. Verse 159, he says, consider. Oh, by the way, that's the third and final time he uses this key word. He's used it twice before, verse 153. We saw it just in verse 158. Now he uses it again, ra'ah. See, look, consider how I, here's the word I want you to see, how I love your precepts. What a wonderful term of endearment. But read on here. He says, revive me. There's the third and final time he'll say that. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, according to your great love, according to your faithful love. God, when I think about this book right here, I can only speak of it in terms of endearment. God, I love your word. But I wouldn't be able to love you and love your word if it wasn't for your loving kindness, if it wasn't for your great love, if it wasn't for your faithful love. There's one other thing the psalmist asked God to consider in the last verse that we'll look at today, verse 160. There he speaks about God considering his R, reckoning. Reckoning is borrowed from the world of accounting and the world of mathematics, where someone reckons figures on a ledger sheet, and And it's interesting to look in verse 160. We have two terms here from the world of mathematics, from the world of accounting. And so he's saying, listen, God, I've been asking you to consider me, but I've been doing some reckoning of my own. I've been doing some math of my own, and I just want you to check my math. Would you do that, God? I just want you to look at my math. And so the first term from the world of mathematics and accounting is right here in verse 160 when he says, the entirety of your word. That word entirety is a mathematical term. It is the word the sum total of your word. What does he say about the sum total of God's word? He says, it is truth. God, I've been doing a little bit of reckoning here, and I just want you to check my math. I just want you to consider my reckoning. And here's what I have seen in my study of God's word, and that is the sum total of this book right here is truth. There's not a lot of people that believe that nowadays. Oh yeah, they'll go over to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting. Yeah, I believe in that. Sure I do. But back here in Jonah, you got to be kidding. Man, that's a myth. That's an allegory. Well, I got news for you, friend. When the psalmist did his math, he said the sum total of this book, the bottom line is every word, including Jonah, is true. Amen? Now he uses another term of reckoning that he wants God to check and God to consider. It's right there in the second phrase there when he says, and everyone. Again, this is a term borrowed from the world of mathematics and accounting. Every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Have we already forgotten what verse 89 says in this longest chapter in the Bible? It says, forever, O God, your word is settled in heaven. That means the entirety of this book right here is going to last forever. That means that when Jesus said, the grass wither and the flower fades, but this book right here endures forever, it is bedrock certainty. You can take it to the bank. There's a lot of people that will go over to Romans 5:8 and it says, God shows his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. But man, when I go back in the Old Testament, I read that story about the axe head that sunk in the water and God caused it to float. Literally, in the original language, God caused that axe head to swim. I know the laws of gravity, and I don't believe that. The psalmist did, and I for one do also. The entirety of your word. Every one of the words in this book endures forever. Listen to me, friend. This book right here doesn't contain the Word of God. This book is the Word of God. And that's something you ought to consider today, every one of us. It ought to give you hope. As you're going through your fiery ordeals, as you're going through your circumstances filled with affliction, wondering if God really does care, the Bible tells us plainly and clearly God does care. That means that if you're here today wondering if God has a particular concern about the issues that you're dealing with in your life, the things that you've been praying to Him about, yes, He does. His selective attention is honed in on you out of all of the billions of people in this world. Friend, I got good news for you if you're lost. God loves you, and He's looking at you right now. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to be your advocate, but more than that, to be your Redeemer. To pay for your mess with His own shed blood. Won't you trust Him today? Maybe you're struggling with other decisions today. God, I want to be a part of a church that teaches your word. that preaches your word, that sings your word. God, just show me what I need to do. God will show you. God will show you as you yield yourself to Him. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, thank you for seeing me. Thank you for considering me. And I pray now that you will speak to that soul that is crying out to you. The one that's crying out for salvation, that today would be their day of salvation. For that one that is hurting, going through their own fiery ordeal, facing nemesis on every hand, God, I pray that you will assure them from the entirety, from the sum total of your word. God, today we pray that you might be glorified in this place as you move in our midst. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.